past 9:30. We're going to open the public hearing and then close it.
Just recess.
So the public hearing for the annexation petition for 54.577 acres in Oxford is open and hereby declare recess.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. That's all we need to do.
Joe?
We've got a lead plot today in Venice Gardens. It's lots 67 and 68. They're combining the two lots. It's along Rush Avenue.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Want to say anything? Okay. Dave?
You are being requested this morning to make a change to Ross Township's land use plan. So what I wanted to do is kind of go through a packet I put together for you to give you some background information. The township trustees want to make a change to the definition that they have in the land use plan for one of their categories. So that's covered on the top page, the yellow page. The second page in your packet is the actual wording of the resolution that we are requesting that you approve this morning. And on the third page, what I did is to make a colored map of the long-range plan for Ross Township. This was adopted in 2001, and you can see that the township's broken into different land use categories of how they want to see the township grow in the future. And along with each of these categories, we have definitions or densities for these different areas. And if you go about halfway down on the right, one of the categories in the township is high-density residential. So the township does want to see some higher-density multifamily condos in the township. And you are being asked to change the definition of that for this morning. And what I did on the last page is to just isolate those areas in the township to show you what areas would be affected by this change. So there's basically two little brownish areas. One's along US 27 and Herman Road, and the other piece is on the Burns Farm at 27 and 128. It's about 134 acres total, that area. So getting back to the top page, the way the plan reads now, those two little areas, it states that those areas should be developed for single-family housing or for multifamily housing at a density greater than 4 homes per acre. And what the township was concerned about is there's really no cap or upper limit. It just says anything more than 4 homes per acre would be allowed in this area. And the township was concerned that, you know, if somebody wants to put in 8 homes per acre, 20 homes per acre, the plan didn't have enough teeth to say that that was not appropriate. So what the new definition would be is on the bottom of the proposed. It would say that those areas, if they were to develop, would be single-family or multifamily uses, and the density would be appropriate if it's between 1.9 and 6 homes per acre. And like I said, both of those pieces that you have on the last map are vacant now. They're zoned agriculture. And all this does is just tell somebody, if you want to develop in these areas, you can do single family. You could maybe do some multifamily. You still have to go through the whole zone change process. But the township would like to see that area with a density between 1.9 and 6 homes per acre. So this is a way to kind of a visioning, if you will, process for the township to give some guidelines to the development community. It is not changing the zoning map. This is just a change to the long-range plan.
Were the property owners notified of this?
No, we did not do any direct notification of this.
So in determining that little strip, how did you do that? Just sort of
The map with all of the colors. This is the plan for the whole township. Okay. So you can see that.
That strip is still there.
Yes. Those were always defined, or those were always proposed for some type of higher density housing. It's just that we want to give a little bit more clarity about, well, what is high density? How many units is that? What would be appropriate for that area? Okay. And what I did with the last map was just to sort of isolate those parcels and make it a little easier to read. Like I said, it would affect about 134 acres. The way the township came up with the 6 homes per acre is we went out, we looked at different projects in the county that are multifamily, went over to Westchester, Liberty Township, did some profiles of some projects, calculated what the densities were, and gave that to the township. And they said, well, you know, they looked through different projects, and the projects they liked had about 6 homes per acre. And they said, that would be appropriate for Ross. So they didn't really just pick a number out of the air. They kind of looked at different projects throughout the county, and that's how they came up with that number. We did give a copy of this to the Ohio Valley Development Council and for their comment, and they were notified of today's meeting. They're associated with the Home Builders Association.
Well, the trustees are okay.
Yeah, this was their request, and Ellen may want to speak.
My name is Ellen Yorty. I'm one of the Ross Township trustees. Usually Tom Wilsey and I come to these meetings. Tom is at the Ohio Township Summer Conference. That's why he's not here. So on behalf of the Ross Township trustees, I want to say that it's important for us that this amendment be made to the Ross Township Land Use Plan. And like Dave said, our present high-density suburban residential doesn't put a cap. It merely states at a density greater than 4 homes per acre. And in light of the township residents' response to recently proposed developments out in the township, we felt it necessary, under the direction of the planning department, that we place a cap on this classification. The Rural Zoning Board and the Planning Commission have approved and supported this request, and we are, as trustees, are asking that the commissioners also support the change in density in this classification so that it would read, contains a single-family residential or multifamily land uses at a density of 1.9 to 6 homes per acre. And like Dave said, it's just a cap, that classification, so that there aren't 10 homes being built in there. And pretty much also based on the fact of everything that's been going on out in the township previously. Thank you.
Thank you.
I move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes. Thank you. Going to communication, let's take item 68 separately and before the communication.
Commissioners, if you want me to, I'll give it.
Yep. Is that all right with the commissioners?
Communications, I believe we had two plats listed as communications. If that's all right, I would like to get them signed today.
Oh, well, you got them?
Yes.
Let's do that in a minute.
First item I have is a final plat for Harbortown Village at Weatherington, Section 3B, Westchester Township.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
And the second item I have is a new subdivision in Liberty Township. This is Lane's Landing, Section 1.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Liberty Township just continues to grow and grow. Derek?
We have before you the Liberty Township JED 1, and based on our findings, the resolution basically acknowledges that we are in receipt of the required documents for the formation. We have determined that in connection with the formation of a JED, Liberty Township and the City of Mason and Middletown have filed all documents required. Further determined that in connection with the formation of this JED, each contracting party entered into the JED freely and without duress or coercion, and then that we received the necessary affidavits, and because it's the required percentages are needed, does not need to go to the electors of the township.
Hey, before we vote, Christine, would you like to say a few words?
Christine Matisik, Liberty Township Trustee, and also with us today is Dina Manessi, our Township Administrator, who has done a remarkable job on putting this JED together for us. As you well know, this has taken quite a while, but I think we've got something that's a very good document, a very good JED that we can move forward. And also with this JED, this will help in the spurring and the maintenance and upkeep of the Liberty Interchange and other infrastructures within the township in that general vicinity for the commercial development in Liberty Township. So we appreciate working with the three of you on this and getting it to this point, and we hope we have a favorable reply from you today.
Thank you, okay? Christine.
Thank you.
Commissioners, have anything? Okay.
What is the status or intentions regarding the second JED that would go on the ballot?
Right now, we have had some discussions, obviously, with November, since we have a fire levy that we're considering putting on on this November, that would probably be not a good time to put it on and everything. So we have started some discussions about the possibility of the springtime.
But there is at least the intention at this point to go forward with a second one.
I cannot speak for the other two trustees, but I can speak for myself, and I would like to see us moving forward on that.
And I would hope that on the second JED, that the partnerships, rather than, I mean, we've met our commitment to Mason, in my opinion, with the passage of this JED, and I would hope that you would look to communities in Butler County to be the signatories of the second JED, if possible.
Well, and we'll take that into consideration. I know that that's something I can't promise that you know that anything will happen one way or the other, but we will take that into consideration, taking a look at, you know, when we take a look at the legal aspects as well as all the other aspects with our council. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I will move to approve. I would like to add that I would like to have seen it. I'll stay in Butler County, as, and I've made that clear from the beginning, but under these conditions, I will vote to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Further communications?
First, approve travel and training. Approve a transfer of CSEA employee from full-time to part-time. Hire secretary to the Certified Development Corporation. Accept resignation of CSEA employee and resignation of Area 3 Court Deputy Clerk. Approve 5 care facility actions. Under the county engineer, exchange sidewalk performance bond for Miller's Manor. Award contract 6-9 for pavement markers for Pierce County roads. Cancel maintenance bond for trails of 4 bridges 1D. Authorize purchase of Bobcat loader. Execute contract 6-8 for intersection improvement, 6-13 for pavement of county roads, 6-16 for Eaton Road ditch realignment. Approve assessment for stormwater management. Under environmental services, approve reclassification of litter prevention manager. Reclassify water line maintenance operator 2 to maintenance helper. Accept retirement resignation. Execute amendment with Sunset Point LLC. Execute agreement number 1 to the agreement of Burgess and Nyepel. Release 1-year maintenance bond for Walden Pond, section 12. Approve OPWC disbursement request for Allen Road water improvement. Release 1-year maintenance bond for Knowles of Liberty Reserve, section 1. Execute contract with Coleman Salvage Company. Approve contract for providing temporary sewer services to 7907 Butler Warren Road. Amend resolution 671310. Advertise for bids for Cincinnati Dayton Road water main replacement. Execute encroachment agreement with Fisher Single Family Homes. Execute agreement for monthly sewer billing in Shaker Run Subdivision. Approve contract with Curry Plumbing for replacement of water sewer service line. Approve agreement for temporary relief from control manhole installation requirements. Under finance, approve transfer and appropriations. Approve amended certificate of estimated resources. Approve budget adjustment for domestic relations court bailiff costs, supplies for juvenile detention, and for the sheriff's uniform allowance. Also, a general fund budget increase for the sheriff, and approve bond notes for Cincinnati Dayton Road improvements. Under job and family services, approve 14 child care contracts. Approve contract with Malachi. Approve amendment number 3 for community behavior health. Approve agreement with La Petite Academy. Approve agreement with Hamilton County Educational Service Center, and receive job and family service payroll. Oh, under miscellaneous, sorry. Authorize sheriff to continue drug abuse resistance education program. Accept a resignation of Steve Posey for health reasons from the Butler County Rural Zoning Commission. Award contract for West Hangar Area Site Development. Receive and refer bids for sidewalk replacement. Approve First Amendment to agreement with Butler County Citizens for Elderly Services. Approve reimbursement to Workforce One for CERT training for EMA, and approve agreement with COIT Systems for Integrated Land Record Systems.
If there's no other changes, I move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
And commissioners, I ask for a resolution to go into executive session at 10 a.m. to discuss pending litigation.
So move.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Thank you.
Is there anything that commissioners want to bring up at this time?
One thing that I don't know if it would. We've sent a couple letters, I think, to AK. And with the selection of the union, the bargaining unit completed, and with the they've completed all their contracts with their other sites, and for the first time, there's a Butler. We've seen some of the, at least from the union's perspective, what the comparisons are in the contracts, and assuming those are accurate, that the Butler, Pennsylvania contract, I think that the local bargaining unit would accept the terms of that agreement. What it would be helpful, and I know ultimately the decision rests with the parties at the table, but the community, particularly Middletown, is suffering greatly over this lockout. There are businesses that are going out of business now. there are people losing their homes. There are people having to sell their homes. There has been a human cost that's extraordinary. And I don't think it's unreasonable for us to send another letter to both sides, and particularly to AK. I'm sure there may be reasons, but even though we're not at the table, the community is a big stakeholder in the outcome of these negotiations, and I would like to see us put together another letter, particularly to AK, saying let's have some transparency in those discussions. You know, what are the differences? I think the community has a right to know what's holding up the settlement, and I think that will facilitate a quicker solution to it, because the conversations that I've had with Alan McCoy, he keeps saying that the union's asking for things that when I go back to Brian Daly and ask him if that's true, he says, no, we've already conceded that point. And it's in all of our interest to get this thing settled as quickly as possible, and I think it would be reasonable for us to send a letter expressing that desire and also requesting that two other things. One, that both parties to the negotiations make all of the terms and conditions that they have put on the table public, so that the membership of the union and the community can know, you know, what is holding this solution up? What are the items in dispute? Because what I get from union representatives is that they are willing to accept the terms and conditions of the Butler, Pennsylvania contract. And the AK management has said they want an industry standard contract. I'm assuming that if that's their goal, that the Butler, Pennsylvania contract is an industry standard contract. And if the local bargaining unit is willing to accept that, or there are differences between that contract and what's on the table now, then it would be worthwhile to know what those differences are, even though ultimately it's a resolution that has to be affected between the parties, in as much as it's, I mean, there's been at least one suicide. There are people getting divorced, families are breaking up, there are people losing their homes. And I think it's at a point where we need to know what's the argument about, if there is one. And if there's, so I would like us to put together a letter to send to them to basically ask three things. First, that as we have in the past, to encourage them to reach a quick settlement. Second, to encourage both parties to make public all the items, the terms and conditions that are on the table, so that we can determine, get some sense of, you know, what's holding it up. And third, and more particular, to specifically ask the question, why isn't the contract that AK management gave to the employees of the Butler, Pennsylvania facility acceptable for them in Middletown, for the Middletown Works? In other words, why are those employees, why are the expectations the company has of employees of the Middletown Works facility different from those? And there may be good explanations and good reasons for this, but I think it's reasonable, given the stakes involved, for every member, not just of resident of Middletown, but of the whole county. The last time there was a significant cutback, if you will, in labor, in the force levels at AK Steel, back when they did the merger with Kawasaki, yeah, we saw a drop in residential home prices, valuations in Middletown at 10%. That's one of the few times in history you saw actual home values go down. And it doesn't just affect the employees of AK, it affects every resident of Middletown, Ohio, who has a home, because they lose valuation on their home. So to the extent that what we have to say matters, it would be worthwhile to say to both parties, and in particular to management, say, you know, what can we do to get this thing resolved as quickly as possible so that the community can start to rebuild itself, and people who's suffering through this can get a better sense of what their future is and how they can rebuild their lives. So I'd like to work on something that we could send to them that would be, I'm not talking about blaming anybody for anything, I'm just talking about right now it's my belief that the fact that these things are being kept secret. Let me give you an example. For the first time in all of these negotiations, I think it was 2 weeks ago, the community got a glimpse of what was actually on the table, and that's when the Butler, Pennsylvania contract was finalized, and a paper comparing what was offered and agreed to at Butler to what the last position offer made by local AEIF union, and what they represented to be the company's position on several issues. And the response by Alan McCoy was, well, that was prepared by the local union, that comparison. Well, that stated the obvious. He implied that there was some things left out. One of the effects of that, because I've talked, and maybe some of you have talked to some of the people that work out there, they looked at what the union had put on the table, what the company had put on the table, and they said, hey, I'll agree to that if that's all, you know, if that's all is dividing us. So I think having these things made public so that the membership can know exactly what's on being considered will put pressure on the bargaining unit, but it will also hopefully, I would hope that the company is not completely insensitive to the feelings of the community. AK and ARMCO, its predecessor, have had a long history of being community-minded. It was part of the values and culture of that company that we've been blessed to have in our county. They are a core part of our economy. They are the foundation of the economy in Middletown, and anything we can do to help facilitate a quicker settlement, I think, would be helpful. So those are the three things I would encourage us to put together, craft a letter, and I think it would be more effective if it comes from all three of us to say, look, let's get this done. Why won't you do the Butler, Pennsylvania contract? Why isn't that, you know, something that we could do here? I'm assuming it meets the industry standard requirement because they said that's what they would sign. And finally, you know, why don't you put out the comparisons to where they think the items in disagreement are, so we can start doing what we can to have discussions with the parties regarding, a quicker settlement. I know one thing is the strategy they're using right now is not working. You've got lots of folks losing everything they've got because of this, and the sooner we can stop the bleeding, the better it will be for not only their employees but for Middletown community and the county. So I would not make an emotion. I'm just putting the idea out that we ought to pursue that. We have sent letters, you know, in the past. And
yes.
I think we've already sent a letter to tell them how we feel, and I think it's pretty obvious that our heart goes out to all those who have been out of work. And it's a hard situation, but there's some very bright people on both sides of that, and I don't really feel that it's our place to tell either side what to do in a situation where it's private enterprise. there's a lot of companies that have strikes that we've never been involved in, and I don't think it's our place to be involved in this one. We have sent correspondence to advise them that we would like to see them settle for the good of the community, for the good of the employees, for the good of the company, and that we would do anything we can to help either side to make sure that that happens. But at this point, to insist that we bring out points or to indicate that we would like more information on this or that, I just don't think it's our place to do that. But it's not that we're taking it lightly. There's never anything good about a strike. There's always hard feelings. There's always loss of income. And in some cases, they think possibly loss of life may be attributed to it as well. But I just think it's beyond our scope of authority and what we're about to take part in this.
You know, I think that we have sent two letters in the past, and this would be the third. What concerns me about your proposal, Mike, on this is your representation that the union doesn't know what management is offering. And that has a concern for me, if that is an accurate representation, that even the union members aren't getting information from their negotiating body. I'm all in favor of looking at a letter, another letter, asking for them to, you know, let's settle this quickly, because I agree wholeheartedly with everything you've said about how important AK is to Butler County and specifically to Middletown. It does have a devastating effect on the local economy, and it will until that is settled. And I don't think I have to take a look at the letter. I don't mind forming a letter, but there's a part of me that agrees with Chuck that we could be setting a precedent with getting involved in the negotiations rather than asking for maybe clarification on why that you said Pittsburgh settlement or Mansfield or whatever Butler, Pennsylvania contract, why is it different than in Middletown? We also, could meet with, both sides just to get their views to make sure that everybody's on the right page, because that is the big concern is what you mentioned about them not, the union members not knowing that, seeing a difference, or I think how you said it is that when they looked at it in the paper, they said, well, I can agree with this. You know, what's missing there? I mean, if I were a union member, I'd be going to my union team and say, well, why can't we settle on this? So that, if that representation is correct, but I'll go along with, having a letter drafted and reserve the right to make clarifications.
Yeah, well, that's why I brought it up the way I did, is I didn't want to come in here with a letter and say, here, I want to raise the issue, because there are three, let me make two things, is the members, first off, it's not a strike, it's a lockout. The union, they didn't go on strike and they wanted to continue to work. But and I agree with Chuck about, I don't want to get into from a governmental entity. I may have my own personal feelings, and all of us may, about what makes sense and what doesn't. But the issue here is I'm not suggesting that we weigh in as a commission to say, gee, you ought to take this, we want to join the negotiations. I'm not suggesting that. The issue, my opinion at this point, and again, it's timing. I think one of the things that was going on with the company, and again, who knows, you had in what makes this timing different is, I think there was a period, these things go through cycles. I think at the beginning, I think the union made a bet and they lost. I mean, this is my opinion. I think they made a bet when they went on strike that the company would not be able to continue production and meet the quality standards. Well, they made that bet and they lost. The company has been able to meet their production requirements and apparently their quality requirements of their customers. So it took a while for the union to accept that, well, that strategy didn't work. Then you got into this argument over what the bargaining unit selection would be, the U.S. Steel and so forth. And that, you went through that phase, and I think the company, regardless of what they say, it was pretty clear that the company, my opinion, that the company wanted the members to choose U.S. Steel. They keep saying they're not involved, but it's kind of like the business we're in, in politics. The company, you had the president of the U.S. Steelworkers when he was campaigning to select their, or the representative of the U.S. Steelworkers saying, gee, vote for us and we'll have your contract done in 30 days. We'll have it back to work in 30 days. I can't imagine a human being so irresponsible or unethical to make a pledge like that to people who are desperate, unless he had conversations with the company. He's either irresponsible, incredibly unethical, or he knew something that nobody else knew. Well, that vote occurred last week. That issue's done now. The other thing that was happening is the other thing that's new and different now is they've settled with every other site. The only thing hanging out now is Middletown. And the Butler, Pennsylvania contract was represented to be, quote, an industry standard contract. Now, it wasn't the union member. The problem is this. The union finally, and I've been appealing to Brian Daly from the first day, I said, because what would happen, let's take health care, for example. Alan McCoy kept saying, well, they're insisting on free health care. Well, nobody gets free health care in this world. And I'd go back to Brian Daly and I said, Brian, that's ridiculous. And he'd say, no, we're not. We've already agreed to their terms on co-pays, contributions, and so forth. We've already, that's not an issue in dispute. Yet I just get off the phone with Alan McCoy, tell me it is. And where the disconnect is and why I believe that the transparency would facilitate an agreement is this. It is difficult. So when the union finally, when Daly finally said, okay, here's our position. They put a full-page ad in the newspaper for their members. They sent letters to their members. Here's everything we're asking, and here's the last thing that the company requested. And here's what they agreed to. This company agreed to in Butler and laid them all out there. It was the first time that anyone in the bargaining process said, here's what's on the table. Then the response from Alan McCoy was, well, that was prepared by the union, implying that something was left out. And what I'm saying is, and when the union members that I talked to saw, well, wait a minute, here's where the company is, and here's where we are, here's where they agreed in Butler, members were saying, well, why are we locked out? Why are we fighting? On those issues, there isn't anything on that list that we can't work out. Now,
and Alan is saying that.
And Alan was saying,
there's something else that.
Yeah, there's something else there, and there may be. So the point is what I'm getting to is I believe, could be wrong, but I know the strategy they're using isn't working now, is that if the community and everybody knows, well, here, let AK say, here are the issues that we're. You know, they put this list out, but they left off this item, and this item, and here's what we are in dispute about. These are the issues. Then the membership, and frankly, the reason that Brian Daly and the union did not want to make these things public initially, he would say, well, look, I don't want the company negotiating. You know, in other words, you lose control of the negotiations. I don't want them negotiating with our membership. Because once you lay it out and the company says, well, here's what we're willing to take, you've got a division then between the guy that's been there 25 or 20 years versus the guy that's been there 2 or 3 years, and it leaves a problem for the union. But finally, the union decided, we're just going to lay it all out there as we understand it. And one of the frustrations that both sides have expressed in the conversations I've had with Alan and with Brian is the other side keeps changing their position. Well, I'm I don't know if it's a perception issue or whether it's a real issue, but what I'm saying is, if we just ask them, look, just let the community know, let the members know, what is at issue here? Why is this community suffering? What is dividing the two? We want AK to be healthy financially.
That can cut both ways, though. If the union is hiding something from its members that they still want, and the company publishes, hey, they've told you all this and they forgot this big point, that could drive a wedge even farther, where the company could say, hey, it's better to, we know that they're missing something, and we want to make sure that, we don't put this in the paper and drive a bigger wedge in the negotiations that's already there. So we don't know that, but yet we still, as an average citizen, like everybody else, wants this thing settled. So, that's why I'm all in favor of going with writing a letter saying, hey, let's get serious and let's get, and the other thing about when you said it's a lockout, I always thought that was a benefit to the employee to be locked out rather than to go on, for them to vote to go on strike.
Yeah, it turned out, it was one of those
because
things.
Because they could collect
benefits. They collect the benefits in unemployment.
So, it was a good thing that the company locked them out instead of, and I think that they were going
to
vote overwhelmingly for a strike.
Well, who can look in the crystal ball, but my guess is you're probably right because they had voted to authorize the bargaining committee, I think, to strike.
Right.
And it was at that time that it actually, ironically, initially benefited both sides. But what they wanted to do was continue bargaining. And as I said, I think the union made a bad bet.
Right.
Now, I don't believe the company's numbers. They're saying they got 1,800 in production. Running it now, we're running it at 1,800 rather than 2,600, but they're not counting maintenance because the maintenance is all contracted out. The 1,800 are not maintenance. Those are the actual production people. The maintenance is contracted. Yeah. But that's neither here nor there. At the end of the day, there are three questions that I think are critical to this. A, let's make it, why can't we just stop being secretive and just put on the table? I believe that will facilitate a quicker settlement. B, you said you wanted industry standard. Why? I mean, there may be good reasons why the Butler, Pennsylvania contract won't work at Middletown, but why can't we, because I have a strong sense based on leadership conversations I've had with the unions, they'll take that. They'll take the terms and conditions. And there may be, for example, let me just say one example, future retirees. And the future retirees, were the people that are already retired is a separate issue they're fighting about in court. But future retirees is a different issue. That's on the table for bargaining. And the Butler, Pennsylvania contract said, well, if you retire in the future here, your maximum contribution will be $100 per month. Still pretty low, but that's, higher than they were paying.
Mm-hmm.
At Middletown, they're saying your maximum contribution will be $1,100 a month. Now, I don't know that that's accurate. I mean, I'm not suggesting that Brian Daly is not being truthful, but that's what he's telling me.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, why, if you said you wanted an industry standard, why can you handle that at Butler, but not at Middletown? Why aren't our employees offered the same benefits? And I'm just asking those questions. They say, well, they may come up and say, well, they've got other things there that they don't have here. I don't know what that mix is, but all I'm saying is, at minimum, we should, as we have in the past, encourage them to settle, which they've ignored. I don't know if it's had any effect. But remember, they do.
This letter we're going to write may not have any effect either.
I know that. But implicitly, understand, they have recognized our significance and relevance in the discussion, because I'm sure you get emails from Alan. We get letters from Alan saying, just want to update you on this issue. So they've invited us to have that discussion, AK Management. Alan McCoy sends emails all the time saying, just want to let you know what our position is on this and this. What I'm saying is, okay, we want to email you back or write you back and saying, thanks for that information, but would you give us the whole package? And I think that would help facilitate a settlement. And the terms and conditions is still for them to work out. But from our standpoint, the community is being damaged. I mean, we want them to be financially healthy.
Right.
We want them to be competitive.
I think unemployment for the folks runs out around 1st of September sometime.
Yeah, they're getting to the end of the unemployment benefits. And if, for example, if it were a force level issue, which interestingly enough, according to the union, and again, I only know what they've said. The company, that's why I say that the company, it'd be good if everybody just lays their cards on the table, because then I think, according to Brian Daly, there isn't that much difference between the company's position and their position. So my question is, well, is there another agenda here? One of it might be force levels. But the union says they haven't even they pushed off long ago the issue of minimum force levels. They've said, hey, company, handle it through attrition, whatever. And they've had the effect, one of the effects of the long lockout has been they've had about 400 or 500 people retire.
Well, again, I think it's important that we restate our previous two positions that we'd like to see it settled.
Sure.
And, you know, let's prepare a letter and, you know,
see what I'll work with Derek, and then he can run it by you guys to what. That, I mean, that's why I brought it up in this way. I didn't want to bring a letter in and just.
I don't think it needs a motion.
No.
I just think that we need to, you know, and at the end of the day, they may say, hey, you're not relevant, go away.
Right.
And that's fine. But the county is getting hit. Our residents are getting hit by the blast of this disagreement.
Right. I would have thought, you know, that this possibly last a month, you know, the last 5.5 months or whatever is just, you know, I'm kind of amazed. But
I am too. And I think now that the bargaining unit issue is resolved,
yeah,
the Butler, all their other plants are resolved, I think the focus, you know, has got to be on Middletown. Say, hey, let's get our people back to work.
Okay. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to address commission? Okay, we will recess for our executive session. Thank you.